Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. It's Sunday. That which makes it a great day here, WPVC. And today, we have more greatness in the studio today. Susan Cruz with us, Executive Director, Charlottesville Climate Collaborative.
That's right. How you doing?
I'm doing well. That's a lot of wordiness.
You can also call us C3 if that's easier.
C3.
Charlottesville Climate Collaborative.
Yeah, I'll do that several times in the hour.
That's
Charlottesville
fine.
Climate Collaborative. Susan Cruz, the Executive Director. SeavilleClimate.org. It's a nifty find on the web. We're going to talk about climate change. We're going to talk about ways that the climate affect us directly here in Charlottesville, a little outside of our range as well, but things that, you know, you think about when it's hot outside.
It's a little hot today.
That seems to be really when people think about it most, or when there's weather oddities. You know, why is it snowing on May 1st? Or, you know, why is it really hot in November?
Or what was that weird, crazy storm we had last week downtown?
Yeah. Or when it's in the news, you know, the Paris Agreement, why are we pulling out of this? But these are things that the Charlottesville Climate Collaborative wants everyone think about every day with all your behaviors, and not just the people, right? But our governments, our other institutions, our businesses, and that's why we brought you in.
Yeah, I mean, I think the interesting thing about climate has been this really overwhelming problem for people. People care about it. They want to have an impact on climate change, but really don't know where to begin. And at the Charlottesville Climate Collaborative, we are really working to try to bring solutions to businesses and residents and local governments and try to reduce our emissions and help to build a climate resilient community.
Have you found that people say that they want to be a part, they want to help? And I don't mean the people that you work with. I'm talking about the overall 100% that, you know, people say, yes, of course, I don't want the world to collapse during my time.
Well, I would hope that 100% of people feel that way.
or, you know, with my kids or my grandkids.
Right.
But what's the actual percentage of the group that does something to help?
Well, I mean, I think, what we're working toward is that everyone has the ability to make an impact.
Has the ability.
Yes.
But is actually doing something.
Well, I think people don't know where to begin, and so it's hard to critique when we haven't given folks a roadmap for how to get there and what to do. And that is the essence of what we're trying to do at the Charlottesville Climate Collaborative, is really try to bring climate solutions to people in their homes, in their communities, and in their businesses, and really bring them solutions that are practical, affordable, and can have an impact.
All right, so that was my first question. Before I got started on others, why was C3 created?
Well, why C3 was created is interesting. I mean, we want to have an impact on climate, local climate solutions. But one of the other interesting things to think about is most of the activity around climate has largely been at the federal and state levels, where people are advocating for different legislation or their bills before the U.S. Congress. And there haven't been a lot of local policy development work that's been done in small cities around the country. And so we founded C3 with this purpose in mind, that we really want to try to solve community-wide climate emissions here in this community, where we believe we're well-equipped to tackle the problem. and, you know, maybe even create a model for other communities that they can look to and implement some of their own strategies.
And when did C3 begin?
The Charlottesville Collective, we were founded in the fall of 2017, but we just recently this year became our own standalone 501c3 independent.
Excellent.
Charity.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And we're glad to have you here. Again, Susan Cruz, she's the executive director of the Charlottesville Climate Collaborative. You can find them at cvilleclimate.org. And, of course, at the end of the show, when we put the podcast out later, we'll have that link up there as well. You know, many people, certainly those of us who live here, and I think the stereotype that goes along with Charlottesville is Charlottesville's a little liberal, certainly thinks of itself in many ways or with some topics as a little with it and modern, yeah, certainly with the food, you know, it's a foodie town mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. But how about with C3's goals?
Well, it's so as a community overall, we have a higher than average carbon emissions per capita. And I think that comes down to a number of factors. Part of it is what is being fed into our grid. But another part of that is, you know, we have our average income is a little higher. So homes tend to be a little bigger. People take more vacations. So we really have a big role to play in reducing emissions. And I think we do have a community that is predisposed to act on climate and they want to do something. And it's just a matter of knowing where to begin.
When you say fed into our grids.
So the sources of where our electricity is coming from in the state of Virginia, depending on the source you're looking at for what is actually being fed into our grid, could be up to 50% natural gas, 25% coal. What sort of energy is powering our community? Right now, renewables, hover well below 10%, and we'd love to see that number increase. And part of the way people can do that and businesses can do that is by acting on their own to put solar on their homes and reduce their own energy use.
And you mentioned the larger income. How does that play a role?
I think when you have a higher than average median income level, homes tend to be a little bigger and there's a lot more travel, and travel is a significant source of emissions.
You use your dishwasher instead of washing your dishes by hand?
Well, dishwashers are generally more efficient for water usage overall. And hot water heaters, whether you're washing them by hand or using a dishwasher, you're feeding natural gas to use your hot water heater in a lot of cases, though some people have electric.
All right. But I did see on your webpage that you had something called climate action goals in comparison to other southeastern cities.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. Just on July 1st, the city of Charlottesville adopted a new climate goal for emissions reduction community-wide, which is the most aggressive in the state. Before that, we had one of the weaker goals in the state. We were advocating for a 10% reduction. We were targeting for a 10% reduction of emissions by 2035. The new goal is setting a target of 45% community-wide emissions reduction by 2030 and carbon neutrality by 2050. And we're the first locality in the state of Virginia to adopt a goal of carbon neutrality, and one of fewer than a dozen in the nation. So we're starting to catch up to where we needed to be as a community, and this is in alignment with what the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change recommends. Those targets are needed to reduce the most significant impacts of climate change.
All right, now help me understand a lot of what that phrase means. Now I understand
they're all a little complicated.
Right. So let's go back and go through that. Carbon neutrality, I have a basic understanding about, but I won't let it go and assume that all the listeners do.
So carbon neutrality does not mean your community is not producing emissions, but that you are offsetting those emissions in some fashion to achieve neutrality. So that's 30 years from now. So if I think about how much technology has advanced in the last 30 years of my life, versus my 10-year-old who will be 40 in 2050, how much are things going to change? How much is technology going to advance to help us reach that goal? I mean, so right now we're very focused on the 45% by 2030 because that is the next 10 years and that's where we've got some hard work to do. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit. And there is some good news in that as the grid changes, where energy is coming from in our community and more and more renewables go into from our service providers, our carbon emissions actually went down as a community since the last greenhouse gas inventory by 22%. So we're already 22% of the way toward that 45%.
How did they go down?
They went down because the sourcing of the grid largely switched from coal to natural gas, nuclear and other forms, and fuel efficiency standards went up. And so cars were producing fewer emissions, even though vehicle miles traveled increased. We actually had fewer emissions from cars.
All right. So you keep every phrase you say brings up like another half dozen questions.
That's good. That's why I'm good here. I'm here for an hour.
Okay. Susan Cruz, Executive Director of the Charlottesville Climate Collaborative. All right. So natural gas and I'll start with that. Natural gas. But by switching from coal to natural gas, instead of a lot of dust and in the air, aren't we tearing up the land to get to the natural gas?
I wasn't necessarily advocating for natural gas, but I was saying that as a fuel source at the burning site where we're using in our community, it is a more efficient one. The best source and where we need to go, the direction we need to head to reach our 45% goal is an increase in renewables. But as renewables come online, and as Dominion Virginia Power invests more in renewables, which we hope they will do, then our grid becomes cleaner and our community-wide emissions can be reduced, whether or not people act. But we're hoping that they do. And we will need both that, the grid sourcing, to change, and we will need people to take action in their homes and businesses to reach that 45% target.
Okay. And then you also mentioned something about the cars?
Fuel efficiency standards.
Is the current administration changing those or reducing those from what they have been?
The current administration is certainly changing a lot of the general environmental protection regulations that have led to some of the gains we've seen. And the federal government can really have an impact in what our community-wide emissions are. I think what's important about the Charlottesville Climate Collaborative and the community work we're trying to do here is that we're not willing to wait for the federal and state governments to change, to take action. We're trying to figure out how to do it right here in our community in spite of whether or not federal governments go forward or backwards.
Okay. So you talked about how we had changed things by 22%.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're looking to be, what's the phrase?
Neutral. Carbon neutral. 2050.
Yeah, I should really write these things down. Carbon neutral in 40 years. And so that would be 30 years, because it'll be your 10-year-old son's 40th birthday.
Yes.
So I was going to ask you, how would that give us a vision of your son's 40th birthday party?
He asks me all the time, why doesn't every house have a solar panel? And it's interesting. He said, every house should have at least one, Mom. Why doesn't every house have one? So, I mean, in his mind, he would like to look all around and see solar, and my kids in the car love to point out when we're driving, oh, there's a house with solar. That one has solar. They're seek and find for solar panels is one of my kids' favorite games. And if there were a lot more of them, they would probably get bored of it a lot more quickly. So we would love to see more solar deployed in our community. And we're lucky in this community. We have several clean energy companies and major employers right here in our city. We have Apex Clean Energy, Segura Solar, Sun Tribe Solar, and Coronal and many other companies that are actually doing this work of putting solar panels in our community and in our state. And unfortunately, they find less work here than, and some of them actually have lots of business in other states as well, who are even taking greater advances in clean energy.
15 minutes after the hour, as we talk with Charlottesville Climate Collaborative Executive Director Susan Cruz. You know, I tell this story to friends when the topic comes up. My wife and I live in a house with 16 solar panels on the carport.
Very nice. Congrats.
We didn't put them there. We just happened to move into this house. But it's pretty cool. I have no idea what the electric bill would be if the panels weren't there. But over the winter, the power went out. One of the snowstorms knocked the power out in our neighborhood. And we didn't know before we moved in. We thought that the panels would be there and some of the outlets would be, you know, the refrigerator would stay running and a handful of outlets would be good. And so it was nighttime, it was snowing, and suddenly we get a call from a friend on, you know, a couple homes up, and my wife answers the phone and she goes, oh, okay. Well, thank you. And she's like, talking on the phone and looking out the window. She said, Sue just called. Apparently the power went out and she can see our house is completely lit up still. She thought we might want to know and start turning some lights off because apparently the solar panels keep everything, every outlet, everything in the whole house lit up except the HVAC system. Mm. So we had to go, it was December, we had to go outside and unplug all the Christmas lights, decide which things we were going to unplug. Mm. And she goes, but I'm going to finish watching this TV show before.
Well, I mean, solar can provide an incredible resilience for this community for things like that. If you know, when climate impacts, I mean, we're already seeing extreme weather events. And as those impacts intensify with climate change, more and more storms, people who have solar are more climate resilient. And we need to be thinking about how do we provide that protection for our entire community, whether or not you can afford to purchase your own solar system. So that's another thing that we're trying to understand at C3 is what are the resiliency measures that we need to put in place for our entire community so that we're protecting everyone. And that's a great story. And I'm glad that you mentioned your HVAC system because it is the largest consumer of energy in your home. And whenever people begin to replace those, we hope that you'll give C3 a call and talk about what kind of efficient system you should be putting in place to protect yourself in the future so that your HVAC system uses even less energy.
There we go. And we'll get into tips for making your home more friendly, climate friendly, a little bit later in the hour. I'm curious, we were talking about the goals comparison to other Southeast cities. Charlottesville has made these plans to be some of the strongest in the country.
Mm-hmm. We're still waiting on Albemarle County. They are working on their goal. They've recommended the staff have recommended a similar goal to the city of Charlottesville. The Board of Supervisors have yet to vote on that goal, and I think that's going to be scheduled for sometime this September. So if you care about climate, you can show up at Board of Supervisors meetings and speak out in favor of the staff recommended goal to match the city of Charlottesville's 45% emissions reduction by 2030 and carbon neutrality by 2050.
And I'm sure if people go to the SevilleClimate.org website, they can find out when these votes are being held.
Yes.
And you'll keep tracking and reminding folks on
Absolutely.
Where to be and when to go.
Absolutely. We have a great Undertake Action. There's a Climate Action Planning Info section of our website that'll give you the complete description of everything that's happening at the city and the county right now.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hang tight, everybody. And we're back with our guest today, Susan Cruz from the Charlottesville Climate Collaborative, C3. You mentioned Tiger Fuel is their underwriter.
Yeah, Tiger Fuel is their underwriter, and I'm psyched that they are for this show. They are actually doing a lot to reduce their own emissions, and they've put solar on some of their gas stations, and we're working with them on a plan to help reduce their emissions overall in our community. And they're a major employer who does a lot of good for their employees and provides a lot of jobs in our community. So I'm psyched that they're your underwriter today.
Yeah, well, I worked for them for quite some time, and they've supported me in the original format of this show at another station, and they continue to support the show here. So Mr. Sutton and others have always been helpful to Sunday Morning Wake
Up Call. Yeah, I recommend, you know, there's a solar-powered gas station right there on Preston Avenue. I mean, I don't have an electric car yet. I'm headed in that direction. But so when I, you know, do have to go get gas, I prefer to do it at a solar-powered gas station.
And make a good sandwich, too.
Yeah.
So let's talk about environmental impact, because I'm always curious. I wrote down landfill versus energy use versus question mark.
So where are emissions coming from? Is that
well,
your question?
It's sort of like, you know, in my head, it was, it's not just where emissions are coming from. It's, you know, what's the biggest battle of? Where do I start if I need to choose? I can't do all this at one time.
Right.
It's, you know, hey, help me out here.
Well, everybody's situation is different. And so that's one of the things I like about our residential program. We have this summer, or actually this week, we're launching a 6 weeks of sustainability summer sprint where you can dip your toe in and learn about different things you can do to reduce your impact. And then we have a home energy challenge, which I recommend that folks sign up for if they're really interested in figuring out where do I begin specifically, because somebody might already have a really efficient HVAC system and they want to know what to do next, or they could already be recycling and composting but want to look at the bigger energy use in their home. And so what is their next step? And our home energy challenge is a platform that really allows you to pick and choose actions that fit within your budget and fit within your lifestyle, so you can begin to see that your numbers go down. And our goal at the start of every sign up is that over the next 6 months, you're going to lose 5,000 pounds. And that's 5,000 pounds of carbon over the course of the challenge. So.
But when you have these, you know, talk about the landfill waste for a minute. When, you know, how are we affecting, what is Charlottesville and Albemarle doing in the landfill area?
So we have some challenges right now because recycling nationwide and internationally has really collapsed. The market for plastic recycling has really non-existent in many ways. I mean, there's not anyone buying the recycled plastic product, so you need a market to purchase it. So right now, I know the county is no longer accepting, or either they aren't right now, or they're soon to be not accepting plastics 3 through 7 for recycling and just focusing on 1 and 2s, which are the most recyclable. And a lot of people are using products in plastics 3 through 7 and are trying to figure out what to do. Our best advice that we can give you right now is just simply try to reduce your single-use plastic use and look at the numbers on your containers and see what it is you're purchasing, and then do some research and figure out a plan for can you get those things in other forms.
And not to skip ahead too much, but to go back and forth, how are you helping, or how are you asking businesses in this way with the landfill, especially when you're talking about the recyclable, because whether it's the grocery store and the bags, or the restaurants and the carry out containers and those sorts of things.
Well, our business, we have a Better Business Challenge, which sort of works with businesses to reduce their overall impact. This last round of the challenge was focused on energy use specifically. But we have a number of tools in helping businesses to reduce their waste. And we've worked with many businesses, particularly Firefly Restaurant just got endorsed by the Green Restaurant Association. So there are things that businesses in our community are really doing to lead the way. And we should be looking at them as examples and learning from how they did things and trying to deploy it through the rest of the community.
I read about it was a grocery store somewhere in the Northeast, Massachusetts, maybe, that was giving out plastic bags for people who asked for them, but had put shaming notices on the plastic bag so that when you got yours,
you felt guilty.
Right, you felt guilty about using it. All right, so next I
have...
That
wouldn't necessarily be my recommended strategy. I mean, we try to find solutions that are bringing people together and bringing people in and encouraging good behavior rather than... We're not an organization that sort of embraces a lot of shaming tactics, but that's interesting to learn about for sure.
Well, I've also run across some people through a business that I work for who take the plastic bags and turn them into things, whether they turn them into doormats or,
right,
you know, sort of by weaving them into items. So there are positive ways, as you will, not the shaming side of things to diminish you from using them. But if you do use them, then I'll collect them and upcycle them into something positive.
If you do use them, certainly you should reuse them.
Right. So aside from landfill, I had energy use. Where do I, you're telling me I can put my toe into everything.
Yeah. So our home energy challenge offers a lot of options. So you can, something as simple as turning down the temperature of your hot water heater. So it's not so hot, just a degree or two will make an impact on how much natural gas you're using or electric you're using if you're using a hot water heater. Installing a programmable thermostat is a slightly more expensive step, but not out of most folks' reach. And you can then set temperatures so that it's not using energy, as much energy, when you're not at home during the workday. And you can switch your light bulbs to LEDs, which are the most efficient form. But there are other things you can do that also have a low cost, making sure your washing machine is full when you run it and your dryer is full when you run it, as is your dishwasher. So making sure you're really using the appliances you have very effectively. And these are all laid out in our home energy challenge. And then we're hoping that folks, after participating in that, will begin to take the next step and think more long term about what's my overall plan to reduce my own emissions in line with the city's goal. How am I going to get to a 45% reduction? How am I going to get to carbon neutrality? What are the long term things I can be thinking about and budgeting for and planning for that will reduce my impact?
Now, you have a quote on your front page that says, "This is not a liberal agenda, nor a conservative one. This is the human agenda."
That's right.
But it seems to be voiced as a liberal versus conservative. And so I'm sure I'm asking how you treat it differently.
Well, so at C3, we're really talking to people about the solutions. We're sort of beyond the debate about whether climate change is real or not. We really aren't interested in shaming and really talking about, okay, let's just talk about what we can all do. And the great news is that a lot of these solutions that will help our climate also will save you money. And so whether you are conservative or liberal, everyone would love to save money on their electric bill. And C3 can help do that.
You must have run into people who... don't believe in climate change. And so what happens then? I mean, does someone turn away from them? Do you make your statement? And then if they continue to argue, what happens?
Well, I mean, generally we're not necessarily interested in arguing, but we're interested in finding out what are the impacts they're feeling in their own homes. So if they don't believe in climate change, but they're worried about how their money is being spent, and they feel like their budgets are tight, and so they're worried about where government is spending money, then maybe there's a solution that we have that could actually reduce their energy use, which would save them money each month and make their budgets a little less tight. And so that's generally where we try to approach the conversation. Ultimately, we're not going to convert everyone over to being a part of our organization, but I think the majority of people are really ready for those kinds of conversations and those kinds of solution. And when they are, we're here and we're ready to help.
Again, our guest today is Susan Cruz. She's the Executive Director of C3, the Charlottesville Climate Collaborative. You can go to the website, cvilleclimate.org, read all about all kinds of things, because there's no way we'll be able to get into all of it today during the hour. It is 30 minutes after the hour, and there's all kinds of stuff for us to get into. Let's talk about UVA's sustainability plan. Actually, let me talk about this first. You talk about bringing in everyone in the community, right? So the reason that I started looking up C3 was I heard an NPR story about Trivia Night.
That's right. That
Tell was us a lot about
of fun.
That.
Trivia Night was a lot of fun. So we have a lot of fun at the Charlottesville Climate Collaborative. We're people who like to enjoy a good time, but we also want to do it and try to build community around climate action. And so we have several engagement events throughout the year, and we had a climate action trivia night at Cardinal Hall where teams competed against each other to see who really knew more about climate and sustainability. UVA Sustainability that you mentioned came, their staff, and they had a team, and Segura Solar had a team, and we had some students from, or teachers and students from Tandem, and the Sierra Club folks were there, and other citizens joined on teams, and we competed against each other at a fun trivia night at Cardinal Hall, and I'm embarrassed to say that UVA Sustainability just sort of crushed all of us. But they brought their engineers and all their emissions calculator folks with us, so we didn't stand a chance.
So that's why I wanted to lead into, tell me about UVA's sustainability plan.
So I know less about it than I know about the city and the county. I do know that they are working very closely with the city and county, because really when we're looking at emissions, I mean, yes, we can draw a line around the city of Charlottesville borders and the county of Albemarle's borders and look at all the facilities over at UVA. But really what has to happen is we need to begin to looking at how these things overlap. Public transportation is a huge one. How does, you know, the city provides Charlottesville Area Transit, which I recommend folks ride the bus system and learn the bus system. And a lot of times it's just getting used to it, as is the barrier in and of itself. But that's a service that's provided throughout Albemarle County, and UVA has its own bus system. And so how do these things speak to each other? How do they connect? How can we provide more efficient and effective public transportation across the county and the city and UVA? Affordable housing is another key area where these entities are working together and trying to figure things out, or we hope that they'll be working together. Affordable housing, most people wouldn't think that is directly linked to climate change, but if folks can't live in and near where they work, then they're living further and out from the city. And the counties, 48% of the county's emissions are from cars, from transport. So we have to get people living in, being able to afford to live near where they have jobs so that we can reduce our overall emissions. And it's quite frankly, it's more sustainable for those workers as well. So we need to really be looking at this thing as a big community scale. And the fact that UVA, the county, and the city are all working together is very encouraging.
Do you know if UVA has solar panels on the buildings?
Oh, they definitely have solar panels on some of the buildings, and they're working toward probably a more ambitious goal. They haven't released their goal yet, but they're working on a more ambitious goal than the city and the county. And they have the ability to do that as a self-contained entity. So they have complete control over where their energy is coming from and if they put solar on buildings or they don't. When you're looking at community-wide emissions, you're that goal of 45% for the city involves my house and the office where I work and all the other houses and businesses in our community. So for the city to be any more ambitious than 45% is not that it's not possible, but it's more challenging. It's easier for UVA to have a more ambitious target, and they should, as a private entity.
Doesn't Albemarle County have a building, maybe their office building, their main office building, where they grow greens on top of the building?
Wow. I don't, it's possible, and it's possible that I don't know about it. That'd be really, very cool.
Does UVA have anything like that, where they use the rooftops of the buildings for things other than solar panels?
I'm not certain. I wouldn't be surprised. They have a lot of creative strategies that they're using over there. And I recommend that folks check out UVA's sustainability plan and President Ryan's plan that he's released, which has sustainability sort of woven all through it. And if you work with the university or you're a student at the university, you should get engaged in helping to shape the university's own emissions reduction target.
I copied a couple things off your webpage, again, seavilleclimate.org, as we talk with Susan Cruz, the executive director at C3. The unfortunate reality is that climate change disproportionately impacts our lower income and lower wealth neighbors, those who have the fewest resources to deal with it.
Yes, that's true.
You slightly mentioned that, again, with the not being able to live close to where you work or affordable housing. Talk about that a little bit.
So if we're looking at what are the potential impacts we would feel here of climate change, one of the biggest, I think, is likely to be rising temperatures and side by side with that rising energy costs. And the percent of incomes that are being paid on utility bills and for our lower income residents is a lot more significant than our middle and upper income residents. And a lot of times those homes need the most in terms of insulation, energy efficiency measures to help alleviate those burdens. And those residents may or may not have the ability to make those changes. And so we need to be planning for strategies for how to protect those residents and reduce the energy bills in those communities as well. We hear anecdotal stories of low-income homes where the, you know, summer electric bill is $300 a month. And for a resident, you know, that might lead to turning off the AC, which some would say is not a bad thing. But on dangerously high heat days, it could be life-threatening. And as temperatures rise, you know, those are things we have to think about and make a plan for so that we're making sure our community is protected.
You also have this on the webpage. Low-income families suffer real impacts from high energy costs. High heating and cooling bills can mean fewer groceries or important family prescriptions going unfilled.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, like I said, the percent of income that folks are paying, that it's called the energy burden. What percentage of your income is going toward your energy bills is so significant for lower-income families that it really can have impacts on your ability to, well, if you're turning off your AC, you may not be sleeping as well. You may not, you know, be as productive the next day at work. It just prevents a lot of challenges, and we need to make sure that we're building in solutions that can impact that. One of the things we're working on right now with the Charlottesville Housing Advisory Committee, which is an appointed governmental body, as a pilot program that would incentivize landlords to accept the city and federal housing choice vouchers by offering energy efficiency upgrades to their properties in a forgivable loan. So we can reduce the energy use in the home, we can add value to the property for the landlord, and we can reduce the climate emissions overall.
What about for homes that are owned by the people who live there that have the same problem?
Well, so there are other programs for that as well. The LEAP, Local Energy Alliance Program, has a lot of resources available. And if you contact C3 or contact LEAP directly, however you want to do it, we'd be happy to provide some guidance on how to get some assistance in reducing your energy use in your home.
So if I had a family member or a neighbor who didn't have the income to, but was in situations similar to what we discussed, but owned their home without the income to take care of it.
Yeah, and there are other great programs like Almirall Housing Improvement Program, AHIP. Locally, they also do a lot of great work in that in that regard.
Again, our guest today, Susan Cruz from Charlottesville Climate Collaborative, as we talk about all the things that are going on out in the world that need our help. So hang tight for the last 20. All right, back in action with Susan from Charlottesville Climate Collaborative. Susan, you touched on it. I didn't give you a lot of time to go into detail, so we'll do that now. The C3 Summer Sprint, which starts tomorrow?
So starts tomorrow, yeah. So this is a fun community engagement opportunity that we have. If you're curious about what we do and interested and sort of just sort of beginning to get on that on-ramp toward reducing your own impact, we have a 6 weeks summer sprint. You can read about it and learn more about how to participate on sevilleclimate.org/summer-sprint. And each week you can choose an action that we've identified to take, and you take a selfie of yourself doing it. One is, you know, plogging with a friend. If you don't know what plogging is, it's sort of picking up trash while you jog. So I'm planning to go out tomorrow morning with my dog, and he's going to be my friend, and we're going to take a photo of ourselves picking up trash out on the trail, and then you post it on social media with our recommended hashtag, and then we're keeping track of how many people in our community are taking actions, and you can win some good C3 swag in the process. So, and you just get plugged into our organization and begin to learn more about what you can do that's even to take deep, more measurable steps for climate action.
What are some of the other things you get to do? I mean, because, you know, not everybody wants to go handle the trash.
Right. Well, one of the first things you can do this week is join our Home Energy Challenge. It's going to be our season 3 of our Home Energy Challenge is going to be launching on September 1st. And we have over 250 homes in the community participating in that challenge. We've reduced carbon emissions by over 200 tons so far through those 250 homes. We're hoping to add another 100 homes this fall, and yours could be one of them. So you can sign up for the Home Energy Challenge. You can, you know, in other weeks, you can also avoid for the week buying any plastics 3 through 7. Give that a try and see how that goes. You could have an unplugged evening, so dine by candlelight and enjoy a romantic dinner with your spouse. You can carpool with your crew or take the cat, ride the Charlottesville Area Transit. So these are all some things that you can do, and we have a lot of fun actions. And we're just hoping that this will build some camaraderie and community spirit. And I think taking these sort of actions always feels more meaningful when you see that other people are doing it too, that you're not just acting alone. And that is what C3 is trying to foster.
And I noticed that there were, for each week, there were 4 or so options?
Yeah, there's 4 options each week.
And there were different types.
Different themes.
Right.
There's a theme for the week. So week 1 is really community, so that's why it's join the Home Energy Challenge or go come. We're having a bike ride this Saturday through the urban gardens if you want to learn about the importance of creating food security in our community and these gardens that feed people in our community, which is so important for climate resiliency, is being able for people to have access to healthy food. You should check out City Schoolyard Gardens and the Charlottesville Food Justice Network, but you can come on our bike ride and learn more about it. And week 2 is about your waste. So bringing to-go containers, avoiding plastics 3 through 7. Week 3 is about water and how much water you use. And 4 is all energy. Week 5 is transportation. And week 6 is your diet. So trying to eat a few more vegetarian meals during that week would be a good thing to
do. I mean, one of them was, I guess the water is like trim your shower time by 3 minutes.
Yes. Oh, that one's really fun because we're recommending that people make a playlist. So, and you can post your playlist for the songs that you play in the shower so you know when it's time to get out. So that's really fun.
Right. I mean, it sounds fun, and it did not sound overly difficult. But it sounded enjoyable at the same time.
Yeah, so. And then we're hoping you get the bug and you don't want to stop and you'll join our home energy challenge and you'll keep reducing your use.
So there you go. So again, SeavilleClimate.org and check out Summer Sprint. Starts tomorrow.
Yep, starts tomorrow. Sign up.
And you got a whole week to get week
yeah,
one done.
Yeah, have a whole week
so
to get week
just
one done.
Because you can't start tomorrow, you have
That's
to start
right.
next week.
Yes, that's right. Or, I mean, if you start a little late, you can do makeup actions.
You can do makeup actions.
Yeah, you can go back and do something.
As long as you turn in your photos
yep.
on time.
Just got to post them on Facebook or Instagram with our hashtags, and we'll be monitoring those hashtags over the next 6 weeks.
Okay. You know, this question came from my stepson. All right. Very challenging question, by the way. He wanted to know more about Charlottesville, Albemarle, and like electric co-ops. Why can't, if I phrase this properly, are municipally owned co-ops better in terms of C3 goals? And if so, what keeps our Charlottesville, Albemarle area from having a municipally owned electric co-op like what you can find in Nelson County?
So we currently have our own utility, which is a natural gas utility. And so it is challenging to set up new electric utilities because of the structure of how energy is regulated, electricity is regulated in the state of Virginia. We're not actively working on that particular problem, but we would like to see our community overall move toward renewables and figure out ways to do that. And so part of the city and county's climate action planning process is to make, so we've set the goal, 45% reduction by 2030, carbon neutrality by 2050. Now, how do we get there? And I think the next 10 years are really the crux of where the planning is going to be taking place. But what steps do we need to take? And is something like that a possible and achievable in our community? And that's something that Charlottesville Climate Collaborative is actively exploring. What are the different pieces of that plan? What needs to be in that plan? And what's going to get us to the 45% reduction? So we're actively looking at all of those things. I don't have all the answers right now, but it is a part of the climate action planning process. And I would encourage your stepson to get involved.
All right. Well, he is an activist. It's just which things are in his eyesight at the time.
Right. Well, the interesting thing about climate is that it really impacts everything. So in addition to having climate impacts, climate is also everywhere, right? So the business community needs to be engaged, but also what are the impacts we're going to feel. If you care about affordable housing, we need to be thinking about energy costs and how that impacts affordable housing. If you care about protecting refugees who are moving to our communities with climate change, there may be more hurricanes making more refugees that end up being settled in our community. We need to figure out what are the solutions for our community overall. And so I think what I would like to see is people who care about various issues begin to see how climate is a part of the issue that they care about and making sure that those issues are being taken care of in the climate action planning process. So I would encourage activists who are working on a multitude of issues to just take a moment and think about how does climate intersect and is there something that needs to be in this climate action plan that protects the community with whom I work?
49 minutes after the hour. I want to make sure that I get to a handful of things here with Susan Cruz from Charlottesville Climate Collaborative. It is a hurricane weekend, right? All the wild, crazy storms in the mid-plains in the spring.
Fires, too.
Fires. I mean, it's almost, you can't even say that, too. That's always an earthquake.
Those severities are increasing.
Is that...
This is the beginning of, you know, what climate impacts we're going to be feeling. And as temperatures rise, I mean, really what the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change recommending this 45% by 2030 is to avoid the most catastrophic impacts of climate change. Impacts are already going to be happening. Storms are going to be intensifying. We need to be thinking about as a community, are people from Norfolk going to be moving inland if seas rise? Are there going to be more refugees of hurricanes that need to settle elsewhere? And so how do we as a community respond to that? What is our response? And we need to be planning for those things. And I know the city and the county are working that into their climate action planning process, planning for community resiliency. But it's just, it's something that sort of changes the scope of how you think about the problem and can feel overwhelming. But if you bring it back down to the local level again, which is why we created this organization, is it's overwhelming to think about it on a global scale. But what can we do right here in this community right now, this year, to begin to move in the right direction?
If there are tips to give to people, because the city, the institutions can't do it by themselves, mm-hmm. you have to do it in your house.
Your place where you work. Yeah, your kid's school. So we have got a team of teachers from, we've had teams of teachers from other schools, and we're working on creating some teams of teachers for this next season of our Home Energy Challenge, and some schools participated in our Better Business Challenge as well. And that's been interesting to see that grow, because the youth are really sort of leading the way. We also, C3 offers a lot of tips, everyday tips, on our social media feed. So if you follow us on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, we're always posting things you can do, choice buying choices you can make. That will help you to reduce your impact. And we, again, if you sign up for our Better Business Challenge or Home Energy Challenge, we can help you specifically make a roadmap to your own carbon reduction.
And you know, Superintendent Haas from Albemarle County will be on the show in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Well, so Albemarle County Public Schools was one of the winners of our Better Business Challenge. They, you know, over our Better Business Challenge, we had 93 businesses participating. Those businesses saved 4,260 tons of CO2 avoided, which is equivalent of powering 743 homes in a year.
Wow.
So it was significant, and $675,000 were saved by those businesses.
Wow.
And Albemarle County Public Schools did a big assessment, and they're making some big changes, and they were probably one of the biggest contributors to those numbers.
Good job.
Yeah.
I'll have to make sure to thank him.
Yes, you should.
But we talked about some of the things to do in the home, mm-hmm. right? And you're putting in the thermostat and your smart cooler and smart cooling thermostat, et cetera. And, but when you're, you know, that's getting somebody who wants to participate.
Mm-hmm.
With the businesses, it seems like someone either steps forward or, you know, how do you entice them? Is it all about the bottom line?
Well, I think there's corporate responsibility is an important factor, and that
you have to market saying, hey, I'm participating too.
We market when businesses participate in our Better Business Challenge. We provide a lot of promotional opportunities, and our winners have gotten lots of media time on our social media channels and in press work we've done around the Better Business Challenge. So I think there is a huge potential to just elevate the identity of your business by participating. Even small businesses can participate. We had a low-income business grant, mini grant program, where we distributed energy savings equipment to several small businesses in the community, and that helped those businesses become more sustainable and save money. So
can you
that
tell
they
me
can
more
be
about that.
Yeah, so we distributed mini grant funds to LG's Elixirs. He's a great guy.
Oh, he's been
City
on the
Market
show before.
Oh, he is wonderful. He's got his booth at City Market is wonderful. But we got him a high-efficiency dishwasher steamer so he can reuse. People can bring him their bottles, and he can clean them and sterilize them and reuse them. The Pie Guy, if you've ever seen his food truck, his pies are amazing. I recommend the tofu curry pot pie. It's delicious. And he got a significant lighting upgrade, which is going to reduce his operational costs. And there were a couple of other winners as well. And so we're trying to help businesses of all sizes, whether it's someone as large as Albemarle County Public Schools down to as small as the Pie Guy or LG's Elixirs.
Now, does your funding come from donations?
We are funded by generous individuals and foundations in our community, and we rely on those donations to do our work. I mean, I think the greatest challenge of our work that we're facing is not that we are not finding people to work with. It's that so many people are looking for those paths forward, looking for those resources, that we don't have enough staff to answer the call. So the more contributions we get, the more we can serve our community. And there is an opportunity for you to donate on our website at SeavilleClimate.org.
What is it? How do you tie things together when you have all this happiness and excitement here, and then you look in the newspaper and see that the current administration is backing away from the Paris Climate Agreement?
Well, I mean, I think that's, you know, I've always said action is the antidote to despair. And so I find that by doing this work right here in this community, where I can actually see the tangible results, we can see the kilowatt hours drop on my own bill. I can see the businesses who have reduced thousands of tons of carbon each year. And I can feel like we are making progress and hopefully developing models that other communities around the country can take and do this themselves. And so if we wait for action at the federal and state level, it may be too late to address climate impact. So we need to start here, and we need to come up with models that work for our entire community.
You have another phrase in the webpage, a African proverb: if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Yes. Yeah, we want to go further together with the whole community. Absolutely. I find that some of the businesses that you wouldn't suspect would be climate leaders, but yet they are. And the Carter Myers Automotive installed solar panels on their Colonial Nissan dealership, which captures 93% of their energy use. And these are leaders we need to learn from and figure out what made that project work and what inspired you to act, so we can replicate that around the community. And if we are learning from each other and learning about all identifying obstacles together, if 10 businesses are all encountering the same problem, maybe there's a piece of policy that we can create at the local level that will help those businesses overcome that. If homeowners are banding together and everyone has a similar problem, maybe there's a group solution that we can help to craft that will get us where we need to be.
And so the next step, when everyone who's listening, their next step today, what's the one thing that we should do this afternoon?
Everyone should get connected to C3. They should sign up on our website, SeavilleClimate.org, and you can sign up either to be a part of the Home Energy Challenge, just to stay engaged and get our regular emails, or participate in our summer sprint. We would love for you to do all of those things, but whichever one feels right to you, we're happy to meet you where you are and figure out where we need to go from there.
Oh, I was going to turn my thermostat up. all right. Susan Cruz, Executive Director at the Charlottesville Climate Collaborative. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Everyone, have a great day. See you next Sunday.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Strength is in their fuel. Engineering assistance is from Mike Friend. The Wake-Up Call is produced by Dan Gould. Show archives can be found at SeavillePodcast.com. Be sure and join Rick next Sunday morning for another edition of The Wake-Up Call, only on 94.7 WPVC.